This is Pastor Mike Parks welcoming you to Church 180's weekly radio broadcast, Turn Your Life Around. It is our prayer that through the word we are about to share, that you would be encouraged, enlightened, and empowered to get your life on track through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's get right into the message this week. I hope it's a blessing.
We've talked in the last few weeks how God is a spirit, and we talked about how God is love and God is jealous was last week. This week, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 29 simply says, "For our God is a consuming fire." God is fire. Today we're going to talk about how God is a fire. The Bible tells us God is a fire. Several examples of God being fire throughout the Bible. In Genesis chapter 15, when God cut covenant with Abraham, it says that Abraham fell in a deep trance and a smoking lamp and a burning torch went through the midst of them. God was a fire because it was, if you know anything about covenant, God was walking through, that was part of the covenant walk. God himself had to walk through the walk of the trail of blood. And so God came down and he was a smoking furnace and a burning lamp, Genesis 15. Then of course in Exodus 3, the famous burning bush, right? God came down to speak to Moses. The bush was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. That was God talking to Moses. And then, of course, we have, I believe it's in Exodus and then also in Numbers and Deuteronomy where God was the pillar of fire that they followed at nighttime. And we have several other examples in the Bible where God was fire. And Ezekiel chapter 1 actually talks about God being a fire storm. It's really cool if you want to look into that. In Matthew, John the Baptist said, "There's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to latch. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with." Now see, isn't it funny? See, John knew something that I think most people read that, Sister Janice, and they just skip it. They miss it. Is the Holy Ghost a person? Yes. So why wouldn't fire be a person? Holy Ghost and fire. God is fire. What he's saying is not only is he going to baptize us in the Holy Ghost, he's going to baptize us in his presence. The fire of God represents the presence of God. And he's like, not only are you going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, but you're going to be baptized in the fire, the presence of God. Then in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit shows up as what? Cloven tongues of fire. In the book of Revelation, it says Jesus' eyes were as fire, his feet were as fire. In Revelations also, it talks about the seven candlesticks. And upon those seven candlesticks, he was the fire that lit them. So all throughout the Bible talks about how God is fire. Then you say, Pastor Mike, well, fire's a bad thing. No, it's not. Fire was the greatest invention or the greatest discovery man ever made on this planet. Everything has came from fire. Industry came from fire. When man began to control fire, man began to control lots of things. Think about it. Fire was the single most greatest invention ever or discovery ever on this planet. Out of that stuff comes in. I want you to think about it. Those of you who work in factories, those of you who do, fire's what makes those machines work. These lights that are burning is caused somewhere down on the river, some coal's being on fire. Fire is like awesome stuff if you control it. If you know how to handle it, the only way to know how to handle it is to be used to it. Who was it that said, it's just like fire, shut up in my bones? See, if you get the fire of God down on the inside of you, you begin to carry God with you everywhere you go. You begin to learn how to control it. You begin to learn how to use it. You begin to learn how to make things happen because when you control fire, you make things happen. Now, I'm not saying we control God. I'm saying we use God's word to control the earth. To control what's going on, we use the word of God to change things. The Bible says that the word of God is alive. See, I want you to think for a minute. Do you realize you were created to be able to stand fire? How many of you ever hear of a sequoia or a redwood tree? You know, it's funny. Smokey the Bear has spent his entire life trying to tell us to stop forest fires. But if sequoias could talk, they would tell you, no, 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 no. Because without fire, they can't reproduce. Because their cones come out sealed with resin. And once that seed is completely mature and developed, it still doesn't get released until the fire comes and melts the resin off And then that tree is able to open up and release its seed, release its power to reproduce. Didn't God tell us to replenish the earth? Didn't God tell us to reproduce? He didn't only tell us to do that physically, but as children of God, as the sheep following the shepherd, we're to reproduce other sheep spiritually. Well, we're just the same as those trees in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called what? Trees of righteousness. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You are a tree of God. And let me tell you what we need in 2016. What we need is a forest fire. What we need is the fire of God to begin to pass through us as a forest and begin to ignite us, begin to burn the underbrush, begin to burn all the things that compete with us, begin to burn all the things that try to steal our nutrients, and begin to light us up and begin to give us the fire of God so we can open up and reproduce and make a difference in this world. We need fire. And God is fire. Shout, God is fire.
God is fire.
Praise God. God is fire. And so there are three types of things I want to talk about this morning with the fire. The first one is it's a liberating fire. Say liberating fire. In Daniel chapter 3, there's a story of three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as they were going... They were advisors in the, thanks to Daniel. You guys remember when we did the study of Daniel right back there, Daniel 11:32, our verse about they that know their God shall be strong and take action. This is the same group of guys. These are Daniel's buddies. And the king got arrogant. So the king went and built a golden statue, 90 feet tall. I don't know how much gold it takes to build a 90 foot tall statue. But have you ever watched anything on those, like the National Geographic or those with Alaska Gold? Man, they just get like so many ounces and they're like millionaires. This guy built a statue 90 feet tall out of gold. And he said, when the music plays, when the trumpet blows, I want everybody to stop what they're doing and they're going to bow to my golden image. So they began to practice that. Well, these people who didn't like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they weren't like them. See, as Christians, we're not supposed to be like the world. As Christians, we're supposed to be a little different. Now, not weird, okay? I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. When God says we're a peculiar people, he don't mean weird. Weird will not win anybody, okay? It means different, all right? It means different, but different in a good way. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were always working hard. They were always giving it their best effort. That's how they were different, because the other people wanted to be lazy, take the shortcut. Matter of fact, I won't say that. I was going to say they probably were unions. But anyway, we won't go into that. I'm just kidding. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the music played, they didn't bow. And you guys know the story. Made the king mad. The guys went and told on the king, and the king says, well, I want to see it for myself. So he does it again. This time he's watching. And sure enough, everybody else drops to their knees and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand there. He calls them in and he's mad. Why didn't you bow down when I played? You should have bowed to my idol. And they said, King, listen, we're not really trying to cause trouble, but we love our God and we won't bow to anybody but him. All right? And so he got really mad then. Who do you think you are? Well, I'll show you what the Bible says. If you really study it out, it says he got the strongest soldiers he could get to bind them. So he tied them up really tight. You understand? Like he was hurting them with the ropes. He was hurting them. He wanted the strongest men in the kingdom. And then he went down and he made the furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated. And then it was so hot that when these men walked these guys in to throw them into the flames, that they died. And the Bible says, and if you read the story, the Bible says that they fell. Look right here. It says in verse 23, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I want you to focus on two words there. First, they fell down. Okay, because why? Because they were bound. See, there's some of you in here this morning. You've fallen down. There's some of you in here this morning. You've been knocked down. There's some of you in here this morning. You got your nose bloody. You've been tore down, taken down. And why is that? Because you're bound. because there's something that got a hold of your life and you haven't been able to let it go. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says that when they went down into that furnace, they fell down and they went in bound. But the king looked down in there and he said, didn't we throw three men in there bound? He said, there are four men down in there walking around. They're not bound no more. They're not held down by their chains anymore. They're not held down by the bondage anymore. They're walking around. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. And he said, they're down there walking. And here, they had, listen, this is the cool part. They had clothes on. The Bible says they had hats on. The Bible says they had all these things on. And not one hair on them was singed. But the ropes that held them down, the ropes that tied them down, they were broken. They were burned off and destroyed. And they were able to walk around and walked out of that place. And if we would just get into the presence of God, into God the fire, who God, his fire, God is a consuming, and we would just get into God. You want to know how to be free this morning? You want to get and stop being knocked down? You want to stop being fallen down? Get into the fire of God and let it consume the bondage that's got a hold of you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Shadrach, Meshach came out of there and Abednego came out of there. See, what's funny is the fourth one never came out. That's because he is fire. You understand? He didn't come out because he was there. He was fire. You want to know? See, that's why they weren't hurt. See, the king thought he was the one in charge. The king thought he was the one. You want to know why it was seven times hotter than it was ever hit? It wasn't because he put more fuel in. It's because God himself got in there and God's hot. Amen? Amen. Amen. God's fervent. It heated up seven times. See, I think it's funny. Why didn't it heat up six times? It was seven. What is seven? The number of God. It heated up because God was in there. The fire, he was in there. And he loosed their bondage. And they weren't, see, that's the cool part. And notice they weren't bound down. They weren't falling down no more. They were walking around free. You can be free this morning if you experience the liberating fire of God. Amen. Second thing I want to talk to you about is found in Malachi chapter 3. And everybody's going, oh, he's going to talk about tithe. No, I'm not. I'm not. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 says, but who may abide at the day of his coming, his there is God's, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Now, I had to look up fuller. I had no idea what fuller was. All right, a fuller is a laundry person. Okay, so what does laundry soap do? Cleans. What does a refiner's fire do? Cleans. It purifies. See, there are people in here this morning, maybe you're not like the ones who are bound. Maybe you're not like the ones getting knocked down. But there's something in your life that just isn't supposed to be there. And every time you get so far in God, every time you make an advance in God, every time you just get a little farther, that thing sticks its head up. Every time. I tell you what mine is. You want me to just be transparent with you? Mine's my temper. I'll tell you right now what mine is. Mine's my temper. I'm a perfectionist. It's funny. I went to a job interview once. They said, what's your number one weakness? I said, I'm a perfectionist. They said, you're hired. Honest to goodness. Use that if you, well, don't use it unless it's true. And when stuff don't go, I'm glad Talisa's not in here. It's when she'd be shouting an amen. When things don't go the way I expect them to, man, I can get fiery. You've seen the fire. Amen. Amen. I don't want to let everybody see it. Jeff, you've seen the fire a couple times. Yeah, things don't go the way I want. I can get fired up pretty quick. And seeing it's something that's deep on the inside. You understand? This ain't something that... And so I'll make advances in God and I'll get going real well and then boom, that thing will start and it'll make me stumble, Bob. It'll make me trip up. It'll slow me down. It'll hinder me. See, but the great thing about getting into God's presence, the great thing about getting into the fire of God is it's a refiner's fire. Because I'll tell you the good news. The good news is I sure don't lose my temper like I used to. I sure don't get as fiery and upset as I used to. I sure don't get that way. And that's because I spend time in his presence and see that refiner's fire begins to purify us. It begins to burn those things out of us that don't need to be there. But see, it only comes when you're in the fire. So many people, just like that light bulb outside that headlamp, So many people want God on the outside, and they'll do this, Sister Janice. They'll get close to the fire, and they'll try to get their bonds bound in the fire to get their bonds burnt off, but they don't want to get themselves into the fire. See, you can't be refined unless you get in the fire. You can't get and see and allow the fire of God to melt you. Oh, this is good. You need to allow the fire of God. Some of you people in here, some of you men in here, man, you're like stone. I didn't have this in my notes. This is straight from heaven. Some of you in here, you're tough. You haven't showed emotion in years. You got hurt when you were little. You got hurt sometime in your life, and you just became this, just this stone, and you haven't enjoyed any kind of emotion, any kind of relationship because you're so, listen, I don't care how hard you may have gotten in life. If you would just get into the fire of God, He'll melt you. He'll break all that stuff down. And what He does, see, it gets so hot in God's presence that all the impurities rise to the top. Now, here's the interesting part. It doesn't say God's the refiner. Oh, watch this. Because when He's the fire. Because when the impurities come to the top, somebody, Sister Janice, has to scrape the top. You know who that is? That's you. See, the fire of God will reveal the impurities and bring them to the top. You're the one who got to deal with them. This is what most people don't want to do. Most people don't want to deal with their stuff. Most people, I just want God to fix me. I just want God to fix me. You know what? That'd be great. And sometimes God does the miraculous and God does fix. How many of you ever know somebody who gave up an addiction just like that cold turkey? God blessed them and gave them something up. How many of you look at that and think, man, I wish I could be that way? How many of you try to quit something, you couldn't do it? Amen. Okay. See, sometimes God does, and you say, well, why does God do that? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't have all the answers. I just know who the answer is. Amen? Amen. And so when that comes to the top, you got to deal with it. See, why am I able to sit here and look at you and tell you what my deal is? Because it's come to the top and I've been dealing with it. See what I'm saying? You got to deal with it. God is the refiner's fire, but when it comes to the top, you're the one that's got to glean it. You're the one that's got to take care of it. All right, that's number two. Number three. So number one, God is a liberating fire. Number two, He is a purifying fire. Number three, He's a guiding light. He's a guiding fire. So many people, I in my lifetime, and I used to do this when I first got really on fire for God back when I was raised in church. I first gave my heart to the Lord when I was 5 years old. I told you guys, I was wearing a green Granimal polo shirt with a green Granimal pants that match. I remember it. All right? We were at Sunshine Ridge Church. Dad was preaching about hell. I didn't want to go. So I tugged on my mom's skirt. I said, I want to go pray. Something's going on the inside. I want to go pray. We went and prayed. Gave my heart to Jesus when I was five. But, however, I didn't really know what I was getting into. You understand? I was five. But when I was like 20 years old, I really got serious with God. Really serious with God. Began to seek it. And the thing I would do, Sister Janice, is I would be at the altar a lot. And I would say, God, show me your direction. God, just give me direction, God. God, just lead me. God, just show me what you want me to do. God, just give me God, just show me your will. Show me your will, God. I want to know God's will. You know what? That's a baloney prayer. You want to know why it's a baloney prayer? Because all you have to do is get in His presence and go wherever He goes. You want to know, see, God don't show you. You don't want to know why God don't show you His, like the whole steps of your life? You wouldn't go. If you saw everything you had to go through to go from point A to point Z, you know, Z's heaven, right? We know the ending point's heaven. We start at point A when we give our heart to God. If we saw what JKL, we'd be like, JK, that's a joke. I'm not going through it. But see, because we went through A, God will lead us to B. He won't show you what B is, but He'll lead you to B, and He'll lead you through B. There's a saying I read this week said, if God brought you to it, He'll bring you through it. Amen? So God will bring, if you just follow Him, He takes you to step B. And if you hold on to Him in faith, hang on to Him, He'll take you from B to C. He won't show you C. He'll lead you there and get you through it. That's why it's called faith. And then He'll take you through point D. See, because I've not arrived at Z yet. I don't know where I'm at in my walk, but I can look back and see A, B, C, D, E, and I can look back and say, man, God was with me every step of the way, and how God was leading my life, and how God was directing me. And I can look at those things. You know that job that I got? I mean, this just tell you how God works. The job that I got when I said I'm a perfectionist as my weakness, I don't have a college degree. I went to college, but I didn't finish. Got married, took care of my, I went to work, took care of my wife. Amen. And I don't know what happened there, but anyway, when you say go to work around here, and people are like, get a job, da 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 da. All right, anyway. So I took care of my wife, and I was against a person that had a bachelor's degree in the field that I was going, that we were competing for, and a person who had a master's degree in a different field but a related field. Final three. They hired me. The reason they hired me is because I needed that experience to do the next step of life. They didn't do that. Let me back up. They didn't hire me because I needed the experience. God moved on them, and they gave me the job over two people way more qualified than I was. Amen. And when I left that job, 4.5 years later, I got a plaque. And my boss, as she handed me the plaque, says, you're the greatest hire I've ever made. That's not bragging. I'm just telling you. She goes, I made the right decision. She didn't make the decision. She just thinks she did. I needed the experience. God had me hired. This is how God works. God didn't show me. When God called me to preach when I was 20, when I was seeking God, God showed me your will. God didn't say, you're going to go through this job, and then you're going to learn this, and you're going to go to this job, and you're going to learn this, and you're going to go to here, and you're going to learn this. And the stuff I just went through 3 years ago, if God would have showed me that, I'd been like, I'll just stay at the other place. Thank you. He didn't show me any of that stuff, but I stayed in the fire. And the light guided me. And the light brought me here. God worked this all out. You all stayed, and those of you who were here at the time, God was leading you, brought us together. Thank the Lord. See, God doesn't do, but he's a guiding light. See, in Exodus, I believe, I can't remember the, do you have it? Is it 13? Exodus 13, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. So at night, see, in the darkness, isn't it funny? We talk about how God is light. It's light from a fire, though. Do you understand? Think about it. In the tabernacle, it was the golden lampstand. In Revelations, it's the candlesticks, right? Jesus said, no one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. It's the light is fire. Do you understand? God was revealing himself the whole time. And it's a guiding light. You want to know what you, listen, you want to know what your life is meant to be? You want to know your purpose in life? Get in the fire. Get in the fire. God will reveal it to you. God will lead you and guide you. And if he brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. God loves you guys. One last verse in Acts chapter 28, we read of the Apostle Paul. And as Paul, you need to read this whole story because God moved on Paul and he warned the people, we're about to be shipwrecked. And this is what you're not going to do. And this is what you're going to do. And if you do this and listen to me, we'll all be saved. Well, guess what? It happened just like Paul said. So then they get on the shore. They get on the beach. Now see, this is what I love. Because Paul was God's emissary. Do you understand? Paul was God's man on the earth to the Gentiles. Paul was the dude. You understand? Paul was the top dog. There was nobody above him when it came to ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And to this day, Paul still reaches our lives through all the books that he wrote in the Bible. Paul, besides Jesus himself, no one influences the church more than Paul did. Do you understand that? So they find themselves on the shore. What did Paul do? Did Paul sit there and go, I'm God's man. You all get to work. No. Paul said, oh, we need fire. Oh, we need fire. That wasn't in my notes either. So he goes and he starts gathering wood. Read the story. And as he was gathering wood for the fire, it says a viper came out of one of the sticks and bites him. Now viper, as you don't know, vipers are poisonous. Okay? So a poisonous snake bites Paul. And it says it attached himself, probably a cobra. Because unlike rattlesnakes who inject venom at a strike, a cobra will bite and latch on. It's probably some kind of cobra. And it said it attached itself to his hand. Now, when the people saw this, oh, he ain't God's man. This is what they read it. It's what they said. He ain't, look, he's a murderer or something. Because God's doing judgment on him. What'd Paul do? Did Paul freak out? Nope. Did Paul start yelling and screaming? No, the Bible says he walked to the fire. He walked up to the fire, and he shook it off in the fire. And then you know what the guy said? Oh, he's a god. We're wrong. He's not a murderer. He's a god. He just got bit by a poisonous snake, and there ain't nothing wrong with him. The reason there was nothing wrong with him, because that thing that tried to attach itself to him, that thing that came to try to hurt him, that thing that came after him to try to cause him harm, he took it to the fire. Amen. He took it to the fire. He took it to the fire. And it just fell off. See, so many of us go through life and we got snakes hanging from us. Look like ear bobbins. Got a snake here and a snake here. Some of you got snakes there. But we all got, you know, we'll come into church and we'll have these snakes just hanging from us, Sister Janice. We look like one of them bikers, Mike, with the fringes. We have snakes hanging everywhere. Look like wings. And we'll be like, why doesn't God do something? Why do I keep, you're like Eeyore. Well, everything bad always happened to me. Hey, Eeyore, your tail fell off. Don't put it back. It'll just fall off again. We go through life like, yeah, well, guys, you the snakes. I sound like Ozzy Osbourne, don't I? Chan! Anyway, glory to God. Hey, take it. You got. I don't even know where that stuff comes from. I'll be honest with you. It has to be from him. I don't know where that stuff comes from. Anyway, only God can use Ozzy Osbourne to message. But the problem is, we all do this. We go through life, we want to complain. We'll talk about how bad it is when all we have to do is go to the fire. Paul didn't freak out. Paul didn't do any of that stuff. Well, what am I going to do now? Paul, no, he just, it simply says he walked over to the fire. Shook it off. Man, some of you guys need to be like Taylor Swift and shake it off. Amen. I told you I have no idea where stuff comes from. But listen, it's truth. It's truth. God is fire.
I pray this week's message has touched your heart. If you have need of prayer or would like more information, you can call Church 180 at 937-386-0333. Visit our website at www.church180.org or check out our Facebook page. Our church is non-denominational with a welcoming environment. Blue jeans are welcome and so are you. Church 180 is located at 2556 Moores Road in Seaman, Ohio, right across from North Adams High School. We would love to have you come be part of our family. The services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. This is Pastor Mike Parks praying you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday right here on C103.